That's it for today's Living in the USA. Our social media maven is Renee Reynolds. Thanks, as always, to Rai Cooter for our theme music, Mambo Sinuendo. You can listen online anytime you want at livinginTheUSAPod.com. I'm John Wiener. We'll be back next week talking about politics, thinking about the left, and living in the USA.
As a KPFK listener, you expect to hear smart conversations about important issues every time you turn on the radio. We bring you facts and analysis, not partisanship or hype, so you can form your own opinions on the news. You count on KPFK for informed, insightful reporting. Don't take coverage like this for granted. It's here for you, thanks to the generous financial support of our listeners. Support the programming you rely on right now by calling 818-985-5735 or contribute online at kpfk.org.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.
That you're about to hear is a rebroadcast and has previously aired here on KPFK.
Estwick, General Manager of KPFK 90.7 FM. Last Saturday afternoon, over 600 people filled into First Congregational Church of Los Angeles in Koreatown for an event KPFK produced called Samud. Samud is an Arabic word that resists translation. Most people render it as steadfastness, but as the comedian Amr Zahar told the room, what it really means is, we're not going anywhere. For the next hour, we're going to share pieces of that night with you. Amr will open, you'll hear the poet Jaya John, and we'll close with a labor panel moderated by our own Sonali Kolhatkar of Rising Up, and anchored by Chris Smalls, the Amazon worker who built a union out of a Staten Island warehouse, was released by an Israeli prison last fall after the IDF boarded his humanitarian aid flotilla bound for Gaza, and just last week was arrested in New York for protesting Jeff Bezos' Met Gala. KPFK is in our spring fun drive, and I'll be back at the half hour with Gary Baca to tell you about a new thank you gift. Stay with us.
Good afternoon. Wonderful. Well, my name is Amr Zahir. That's Amr Zahir if you can't speak Arabic or if you're white. And we are here today to celebrate the strength of the Palestinian people. We are here. I'm very, very honored when they asked me to be the host and MC of today's event here as we celebrate the great work of KPFK and the theme, yes, you can clap for them, who have been standing up for justice for as long as they've been around. And the theme of today's event, the title of today's event, which is Samud. And Samud in Arabic, for those of you who don't know, we usually translate it as steadfastness. But what it really means is we're not going anywhere. And it applies to everybody in Palestine, but it applies to everybody here in America and Los Angeles as well. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I am a comedian, I'm a lawyer, I'm a professor, I travel around the world, I go to Palestine. I never visit Palestine, I return to Palestine, because we're all going to return one day. And I was there, I was in Palestine a few months ago. I'm originally from the city of Nazareth in Palestine, which it feels weird to be a Palestinian from Nazareth in a church, but whatever. So I'm originally from the city of Nazareth in Palestine, and I was there a few months ago. I don't know if anybody follows me. I was there a few months ago doing comedy shows. It was the first time I'd done comedy shows in Palestine since October 7th. I've done maybe 100 before then. But now we waited a few years, waited till the timing was right. It's never fully right, but we waited till we thought it was okay. And I was able to do a little comedy tour in Palestine. My first show at part of that tour was a day of shows in Nazareth in the old city, in a Palestinian-owned businesses in the old city of Nazareth, which, as all of you know, is under full Israeli control. I had three shows. The first show was at 5 o'clock. The second show was at 7 o'clock. The last show was at 9 o'clock. And they were all sold out. I'm very lucky, you know. And after the first show, the 5 o'clock show, we got done around 6:30, and I walked outside, and I saw the Israeli police were kind of like milling around. You know, there are a lot of Arabs congregating in one place and having a good time, and apparently this was a problem. And they came up to me, the police, and they said, "We'd like to talk to you." I said, "Is this optional?" They said, "No." I said, "Can we do it tomorrow? I'll come by, we'll have a cup of coffee. I have two more shows." They said, "No, now." So now it's about 15 minutes before my next show starts. People are lining up, and luckily there was a lawyer who came to my first show. She was a fan of mine. She said, "Hey, I'll come with you to go talk to the police." I said, "Great." Walked into the police station. I said, "Hey, I'm here." They said, "Okay, come on in." I said, "My lawyer's with me." They said, "No, no lawyers." I said, "Oh, I thought this was the only democracy in the Middle East. I thought I'd get a lawyer." They said, "No, no lawyers." I said, "Why?" They said, "Because this isn't a real interrogation. We just want to have a conversation with you." I said, "Well, I'd be honored." So I walked in, and after they took about half an hour to figure out how to work the computer and register me into their system or whatever, they said to me, "Well, on stage when you're talking and you're telling jokes, do you engage in incitement against the state of Israel?" I said, "Of course not." They said, "Are you thinking about engaging incitement against the state of Israel?" I said, "Of course not, of course not." They said, "Do you support Israel or are you against Israel?" I said, "I would prefer not to answer this question." They said, "No, you have to answer. We've got to put it in the computer." I said, "Okay, you know, neither, you know, whatever. Neutral. They, you know, whatever. Just put what, just whatever goes in that thing, just, you know, put it." Then they said, "Well, we'd like to inform you that if you continue in your incitement and threats against the state of Israel, you could be imprisoned for a very long time. We don't know how long, but you could be." And as you might know, in Israel, they have something called administrative detention, where they can hold you for 6 months without a lawyer and then renew it. And there's many Palestinians, in fact, right now about 1,200, who are sitting in jail under administrative detention. No charge, no lawyers, no nothing. So they said, "We'd just like to inform you of that." I said, "Okay, thank you for the information." Then they gave me a piece of paper in Hebrew. They said, "Sign this." I said, I don't speak Hebrew." They said, "No, it's okay. It's just what we were talking about." I said, "No, you know, I don't speak Hebrew. And my lawyer's right outside. Let her come inside. She'll read it to me and I'll sign it." They said, "No, no lawyers." So I wrote in English on the piece of paper, I do not understand Hebrew, and I signed my name next to that. They finally let me out. Now it's like 8:15, 8:20. I had a show at 7 o'clock, and I live in Dearborn. I thought I understood like Arab gossip and how quickly people learn stuff. I walked out of that police station. There were already six Arab guys with phones in front of my face. Alhamdulillah, salami, we are so proud of you. You're a hero. I'm like, bro, they just took me for an hour. It's not... My cousin, I'm from Nazareth, so my cousin was there with me, and I said, hey man, it's 8:15, I had a 7 o'clock show, what happened to those people? He said, they heard what happened to you, and they're sitting waiting for you to come back. I said, all right then, let's go, time to tell jokes. So I went back, ran back, I did the 7 o'clock show at 8:30, I did the 9 o'clock show at 9:45, I did two shows the next night in Haifa, I did a show a couple nights after that in Ramallah for 800 people, we recorded that show and it's going to come out very soon. But the real story is not me. The real story is the Palestinians in Nazareth and everywhere in Palestine who heard what was happening to a brother of theirs and said, you know what, we're just going to chill and we're going to wait and we're going to hang out till he comes back, because this happened to all of us before. And that is Samud. That is, we're not going anywhere. Samud is, Samud can be anything from a hunger strike in an Israeli jail for months to, we're not going to let you mess up our Friday night, we still want to go to a comedy show. That is what we have been doing for 77 years. They've been trying to get rid of us, and luckily, they're very bad at it. And we are very stubborn. And as I was sitting in that room, you know, I have four grandparents, all of whom were born in Palestine, and none of them are buried in Palestine. Against their will, I have two grandparents buried in Fresno, California. They didn't want to be buried there. And so I was just thinking in that room, you know, for those 2 hours, I said, just don't disappoint them. That's all I was thinking about. They were my Samud for a long time. Don't disappoint them. I also was thinking, I'm an American, you know. They got to treat me good. But then I remembered that the American ambassador to Israel is Mike Huckabee. And I said, what am I going to do? Call Mike Huckabee? You know, he doesn't. Mike Huckabee's hanging out in Jerusalem waiting for Jesus to come back. And Jesus might come back. But if he does, the first thing he's going to say is not going to be, where is Mike Huckabee? I must see Mike Huckabee. So we are not going anywhere, and that's what this event is today about. We are going to be here all day celebrating the strength of the Palestinian people. We have a wonderful lineup of cultural performances, panels, intellectual talks. We really hope to fill everybody up. So the first person I'd like to welcome to the stage is someone who I think all of you in Los Angeles know, a man who has used his pen and his words and his poetry to talk about justice for as long as any of us can remember. Please help me welcome to the stage Dr. Jaya John.
By the way, to help with the energy in this grand sanctuary, I'm going to ask each of you to pretend as though you are black. And this is a black church. And we're gonna, yo, can you feel me? You feel me? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Today, we are all Palestine. Today we are all Palestine. We have gathered here today to ignite the Levantine sun inside our hearts and stroke the lush garden of our souls like lovers. Today we give reverence to life by giving reverence to Palestine, which is life. Today we are the sensuous, supple, seeping song of Samud. Deep rooted in our homeland, forever returning home, building again, growing again, we are an eternity of aching, dying, birthing. We are an infinity of moons. prideful legacy of Sumud, endless caravan of resistance, garden of endurance, steadfast and determined, unyielding magnificence. We persist, sweet and sticky like dates and figs, honey and pollen, nectar and necking. We are the spice that seasons colonizing conditions. We are a souk of soulfulness. Remember, you're black. Remember, you're black. Call and response. Some of us are culturally disabled. That's okay. That's all right. We are the spice that seasons colonizing conditions. We are a souk of soulfulness, a towering tent of romance. We make love to our lands. Our lands make love to us. We are offspring of seduction. Our sweet tears water the crops, make lakes in the desert. We leap into those waters and come up defiant and dripping with songs. Our old ones still kiss their fruit. Our children know joy. We hold hands in the streets. We are lovers forced to confront a death factory. And we do. We surge like a swollen river, castrate the dreams of genociders. We won't leave. We won't stop living. We Sumudin, delirious with soul fire, with the ornate ovation of old times percolating through our pain. We are onyx and obsidian, stark against alabaster agitation. Our ancestors were as stubborn as Palestine's hillside boulders. They could not be moved. They were allergic to displacement, returned home like golden flowers, treated weeds, and yet always blooming. Fragrant roses, sturdy orchards, rooted in our homeland, desert soil clinging to our thirsty roots, our divine dreams, our melancholy memories. We are Palestine. Hope of the world, altar of life. Hope of the world, altar of life, humanity's mirror, bedrock, compass, and fire. Sumudin, a people who cause reckoning, celibate to surrender, fertile to freedom, galloping holy horses aside the tide spray of a Palestinian sea. We are a parade of clouds, a sky full of martyrs, Jericho sons, Jordan water daughters, rose, sweet rose water, persistent beauty, intimate with beauty, in bed with beauty, moaning under the cosmic quilt of conception. We birth life. We Sumudin explode the ordinance of erasure. We are a calligraphy of the most precious ink. Paragraphs of Exodus, verses of village life, haiku of humility. We show humanity its broken bones, its sold out soul, and its fervent way home. We are Levantine lantern, lighthouse, luminosity in the mist. Night dreams of daylight, the way darkness dreams of Palestine. We are morning dew, a returning water, a people as land savoring itself, salivating for its own aroma and flavor, for its foods, and oh, our foods, our shish barak, rice pudding with mastic sap tears, rose water and orange blossom, mujadara, makluba, shakshuka, makdus. Look close and see us in the bark and fruit and root of the olive and the mastic trees. We grow for centuries in a desert of oppression that every day tries to kill us. We know every molecule and microbe of what it means to be alive. Yes, we know death, and so we spark life. We are rich black coffee humming with flavor, nectar of flowers, sideways soul songs, stealth in the malicious machinery, olive oil lubricating our unrepentant joy. We break open the ripe red watermelon flesh of our grief and eat the seeds of revolution. Our people die into the birth of a million prophets. We are exponential life forms, multiplying into glory, unconquerable in the chaos, sea boats heavy with fish catch, decadent stew, deliverance amidst the drought, hallelujah waters flowing impossible and plentiful in the soul. Today, we are all Palestine. We dabka dance, we bleed, we set our sorrow free. We flood the courtyard with our tears, are soaked in holy rivers, our clarity in the dust storms, wind chimes in the silence, harmonious wailing, grief bandits stealing vitality from despair. We frustrate ego and we frustrate evil, confound colonizers, drive hungry ghosts crazy until they eat their own children and cannibalize the world. We are Palestine, a prophecy of freedom, the feast before, during, and after the Nakba of madness. 1,000 years from this day, we will still be dancing, rooting, remaining, romancing, holding our loved ones close, kissing each other's faces. We remain, we remain, we remain. We are slow tea and slow stories beneath the cypress trees, cardamom and cloves, cinnamon and ginger, easy cafe conversations, suitcases left unpacked and unneeded, a staying. We are a staying punctuated with the pollen of peace and hummingbirds safe enough to suckle the succulents of grace. We are a heart conversation between the dearest friends, a soul weaving plunged into the honey and chocolate of truth. We are a survivor's heart that finally breaks from its deepest pain into countless shards of suffering and is swept up into endless arms of consolation. Our every breath is a rebellion, a revival of jubilation, of prayers cuddled in the hugs between those who love life. All life, not segregated life, the sweeping life, mycelial and symbiotic and naked as a newborn with no borders between flesh and sky. We are poetry and praise, song and sensuality. Songbirds know our melodies. We are music, whirling dervishes of mystic ecstasy. Today we blush forth our aching art, drink our mint lemonade, and organize for liberation. Allah. Aloft on laughter we sweet gossip about our neighbors, whose names and lineages we know by heart. The Palestinian sea salts our skin and browns our bodies and roasts our almonds and toasts our pistachios. We are painting, poetry, sculpture, stage and film, ceramics and textile, mathematics and architecture, performance and prayer. We are rice and yogurt dishes brimming with a universe of sensation. We are mineral of the mountains, the soul of the world. We are dabka dancing today in the dirt of our dire existence, feasting with passion, savoring the flavors of being alive. We are incense of a new world, a world where the last empires have died, castles are ruins, and the soulless can no longer breathe, for our sandalwood, musk, and amber have infiltrated the soup. The marketplace of leather and falafel and kanafa and passion that makes babies and blessings and songs of the sunrises to come. Our beloved, martyred, Palestinian poet, brother, Rafat Alareer, wrote, "If I must die, you must live." And so today, beloved family, we must burst open like the ripe red flesh of our pomegranate souls, and we must sing and dance and feast and cry and laugh and remember and river and pray and dream, and we must live. Say it with me, we must live. 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 Shukran, shukran, Palestine.
All right, wonderful. As they get ready to set up for our first panel of the day, which will focus on labor, I'd like especially to look around this room and see the beautiful diversity that we have in this room, and that's what Palestine brings together. Everybody. I know we have Arabs. Are there any Arabs out there? Yes? Yeah, clap. This is not ice. Raise your hand. Just clap. Arabs. Okay. Latinos. Wonderful. All right. South Asian. India, Pakistan, Bengal. Okay. Good. Wonderful. African and African American. Yes. Wonderful. Asian. That's not South Asian. See? We got everything. I think I see some white people. Irish? I love that. I said white. I love that. I said white people. She said, no, I'm Irish. Very specific kind. All right, wonderful. And so we are here today to celebrate all of that. And I heard Raida say, Viva Cuba, Viva Venezuela, and Viva Iran. So, I'd also like to welcome our uninvited guests from the FBI and CIA who are here with us tonight. Yes, we are not ashamed to say anything that we say up here on this podium today.
So, we have been listening to excerpts from our most recent KPFK fundraiser on Saturday, May 9th, called Samud, honoring both Palestinian solidarity and our station's great anti-war origins. What you just heard is what coalition looks like, and KPFK is where Los Angeles convenes it. We had over 600 people speaking different languages, practicing different faiths from different organizing traditions, all eating together, laughing with Amer, crying with Jaya, and that just doesn't happen by accident. It's what happens when an institution holds the ground for it. And KPFK was that institution. We produced this event from the ground up, and you, the listener, funded it. This year, for us, marks 67 wonderful years of holding ground for Coalition Radio in Los Angeles, and we're looking forward to another 67.
Thank you, Ace. 818-985-5735. Today's show focused on Palestine and Nakba. So, hey, you asked and you shall receive. We get calls all the time, Ace, that folks say, you're not talking enough about Palestine. You're not putting it out there. Certain shows are not saying this and saying that. So now we're focused on that. And we thank you for attending this event. 818-985-5735. Ace, can you tell us what we have?
Yeah, you know, you're so right. That's why we felt it so necessary to hold this event here in LA right now, because it's the kind of programming KPFK has always platformed, and it couldn't be more relevant or more needed than it is right now. And if you missed the event, we have a special package we're offering just for you. It includes a signed copy of Dr. Ramzi Baroud's brand new book, Before the Flood, a Gaza family memoir from Seven Stories Press. Ramzi gave the keynote at Samud, and the book is the story of his family, his village, Beit Daras, his sister, Suma the doctor, killed in Khan Yunis just last October. October. It's a harrowing story and an uplifting story of three generations of life in occupied Palestine. The package also includes a beautiful handmade keffiyeh, which is the resistance scarf of Palestine, woven by a Palestinian family of weavers, a factory that was in Palestine until the Nakba, and then relocated to Damascus in Syria. And of course, it also includes the full 4-hour video of the entire Samut event, with the voices you just heard and many, many more. So again, that number is 818-985-5735. Gary, what's the number?
818-985-5735, option 2. That'll take you to the phone room, or you can pledge securely online at kpfk.org/donate. And we talk about Nakba, the annual commemoration of the 1948 forced displacement of more than 750,000 Palestinians and the killing of thousands more during the creation of the Israeli state. And Jewish voices are challenging the stories Israel tells about itself. And I'm sure that at this event, there was a lot of folks chanting Free Palestine. So we want you to go to your phone and pledge your support. As A said, we have a wonderful offer. 818-985-5735. Let them know the offer that we have again, Ace.
The offer is our Samud Bundle, a signed copy of Dr. Ramzi Baroud's book, Before the Flood, a Gaza Family Memoir. It includes a handmade keffiyeh made by a family of Palestinian weavers, and it includes the full 4-hour recording of our fundraiser event.
Wow.
On May 9th. Lots of voices. Includes cultural performances, speeches, panels, nearly 4 hours of voices, culture, celebrations, grief, testimony, the whole package. The book, the scarf, and the talk.
818-985-5735 is the number to call to get that. 818-985-5735. If you were not able to attend the event, hey, we have it on video with much, much more. 818-985-5735. If you missed anything here, you can ask the phone room and they'll explain it as well.
All right, I'd like to welcome our three panelists that are going to, I'll ask them to come to the stage when I'm all done introducing them and they can all come together. But our three panelists today doing this panel that is focused on labor. The first is our moderator, Sonali Kolhatkar. She is the host and creator of Rising Up with Sonali, building on her KPFK show Uprising, the station's longest running drive time show hosted by a woman. And she's been a multiple time LA Press Club Award winner and the author of Talking About Abolition. The second panelist on this panel will be Nidal Rafidi. He is the vice president. Good. That's family? Okay, he's the vice president of Teamsters Local 1932 and a director of respiratory care at Arrowhead Regional Medical Center. And in October 2024, his local became one of the first U.S. Teamsters locals to call for a Gaza ceasefire. And the third panelist today on the labor panel is Mr. Chris Smalls. Chris is the founder of the Amazon Labor Union, the first successful Amazon warehouse union in U.S. history. In July 2025, Israeli forces boarded the Handala as part of the flotilla while he was sailing humanitarian aid to Gaza, beat him and held him in an Israeli prison. He also, as some of you might know, in his own way, attended the Met Gala a few days ago. And he has been standing up for justice everywhere that he can. So please help me welcome to the stage Sonali, Nidal, and Chris.
Hi, everybody. It's so great to be here and to be in community with KPFK listeners. It's been a really long time since I've done a KPFK event. And I'm so excited to be joined by Chris Smalls, by Nidal Rafidi, Chris going from the Met Gala to the First Congregational Church in LA. and we're here to talk about labor. I want to spend the majority of this panel having my panelists speak. They're the experts on this, and I'll throw out the question to the two of you. I do solutions journalism, and so I'm always looking at where are people doing things that work, and how can those be replicated? And so we've seen in Europe, we've seen European unions bring their nations to a standstill. We've seen that in countries like Italy and Spain. Last year in particular, there were mass union movements that brought everybody out into the streets, brought their countries to a standstill, and spoke out. And of course, we need that more here than in Europe, given the connection between the US and Israel. So what is it about European unions that you think has worked for them? Why hasn't it worked here? And what can be done to get American unions and organized labor to rise up in solidarity for Palestine?
Man, that's a great question. Thank you all for being here. It's an honor and pleasure to always come back to LA, which is like my second home. So thank you all. Appreciate it. And that's a loaded question, but you know what? I have the perfect answer, because if you've been following the work I've been doing for the last 9 months since I've been released from prison in occupied Palestine, the first thing I did was come to LA, and we did a protest downtown, if y'all remember that. And it was about disarming genocide. This campaign that I created is continuing to help support the dock workers in Italy who've shown exactly what we do when we withhold our labor. So what you're alluding to is the fact that, you know, European unions are not tied to a two-party duopoly like we are in America. They're actually communist unions and socialist unions. And that is one reason why they're able to be more militant, because they still uphold those values. Unfortunately here, our unions vote blue no matter who, or even worse. So because they're tied to either party, both parties, they're constrained to the type of politics that, you know, our politicians are alluding to when it comes to Palestine. So that's one way to look at it. But another thing is that our union density here in the U.S. is in the gutter. Less than 6% in the private sector, less than 9% in the public sector. That number declines every single day because all of the jobs that are being created are artificial intelligence, and they're trying to replace us. Another thing is our unions are not organizing enough, unfortunately. They're just not doing enough to reach everyday Americans, and that's on them. They have to do more direct action, maybe crash a Met Gala or two to spread awareness. I don't know, but, you know, once again, I try to lead by example as a labor leader. Getting on a flotilla was one thing, crashing the Met was another. But also what I've been doing is supporting the European unions. Building that international solidarity is something that we have to do. So I'll just end off here real quick. The Italy workers, myself included, about a month ago, we shut down 21 ports in the Mediterranean Sea. We stopped all weapons going to Israel for one day. For one day, no weapons made to Israel. The problem is the government of Italy fined that union $75,000. And the workers who go on strike, they don't get paid, as we know. So what I've been doing is raising money for that union. So if you have the capacity, donate to the campaign. It's on shuf.org/disarmgenocide. We plan to go on general strike again in the near future. So let's do what we can, because we all have a role to play.
Thank you for having me, and it's an honor to be with you all. I'm going to piggyback on a little bit Chris is saying. The European-style movement is because labor has been able to have influence on those governments and being able to use the labor, because employees take it upon themselves to shut down those areas in those units. And so there's a historical background that's a difference than here in the United States. Here we live in capitalism. Capitalism is specific to big oligarchies, big type of businesses that care about profit. And so their job in the United States is to destroy unions. So the struggle in America is not only is that the unions themselves are trying to support the cause of Palestine from a humanitarian perspective, but they are actually having to fight against the capitalist entity that's here that's pushing against it. But not hope is gone. And the last 3-4 years proves to all of us, we are here today, right now, in this event, because of what labor has done in America to support the Palestinians against the genocide. That's why I'm here, right? Why am I, a Palestinian American, the vice president for Teamsters Local 1932, representing 14,000 people? Why am I able to get a ceasefire and stop military aid statement out of that local? And it's because it comes down to humanitarianism. What we saw in Gaza and still see today is in-your-face genocide and shame on any union for not stepping up to defend that situation. You think about Martin Luther King and all of the civil rights movements, labor was hand in hand in order to lift up the civil rights movement and support it for freedom of speech. I'm allowed to speak to you today because of that freedom of speech. But we've got to use that voice now to support Palestine, to support the end of genocide in Gaza. So how do we do that, Sonali, which is a great question? Grassroots, people to people, working with the student movement, working with the boycott and divestment. We need to shut it down. And we are, and we're going to continue that way.
Thank you, Nidal. Thank you, Chris. So just picking up on what you were saying, Chris, the union density is so low in the United States, and it's falling still, in spite of the fact that there is greater popularity. Unions are more popular than ever. Americans have very good opinions of unions. More Americans want to join unions than can join unions. So that's one issue. The duopoly, as you were saying, is the other issue, that this vote blue no matter who. We have unions backing the Democratic Party, which has been in bed with Israel for so long. And then we also have this, the fact, I want to bring in a third point, which is that there are different kinds of unions in the United States, right? You have the organized labor that have historically backed Democrats, but we have new upstart unions, and those are of a different characteristic than some of the established unions. So one question to you is there this disconnect between rank and file and union leadership, and the disconnect between independent newer unions and established older unions on the question of Palestine and Israel? And if so, how is that disconnect being overcome? Are you seeing that gap closing?
That's a great question again. Yes and no. So yeah, rank and file members have been speaking out against Palestine even before 2.5 years ago. This has always been an issue, a working class issue. The problem is there's great locals like my brother here who have stood on the right side, but on an international level, when it comes to unions, history tells that they haven't done absolutely nothing. They passed zero resolutions for the past 2 years. The only resolution that was passed on an international level was from the UAW, but that's a ceasefire. Here in the U.S., unfortunately, on an international level, the AFL-CIO that represents 12.5 million workers has passed zero resolutions. Their leadership has been complicit. And even worse, some of their leadership is Zionist. Some of these union presidents are actual Zionists. I'll give you one even more. The president of the RWDSU, Stuart Applebaum, is also the president of the Jewish Labor Committee within the AFL-CIO. So this actual lobbying within the labor movement. And it's been that way, guess how long? Since 1958. They don't have a Palestinian labor committee. They don't have an African-American labor committee, but they have a Jewish labor committee, and the president of the RWDSU is the president of the Jewish labor committee. So we're actually fighting against our unions to hold them accountable as well as pushing them to listen to their rank-and-file members. And there's only two maritime unions that are really the ones that are shipping weapons to Israel. We know exactly who they are. They're the Longshoremen Association on the East Coast and the IOWU on the West Coast. With the exception of Local 10 in the Bay Area, who's always stood on the right side since the South African apartheid, their international is still complicit. So we got to call all of these things out. And if y'all once again been following my work, you know that I stormed the building of the AFL-CIO a few months ago, and I delivered a petition signed by 5,000 people. You know, we could pass resolutions and ceasefire deals, but we all know that there is no real ceasefire. The only thing that's going to happen that can change and stop or put an end to this genocide is if our unions withhold their labor.
You brought up a great question. I'm going to tell you exactly the problem that I went through, right? So I represent, like we said, 14,000 public employees. When I first tried to push through the resolution, I was told, let's not keep it on the local level, let's move it up to the Joint Council. Went up to the Joint Council, waited a couple of more months and nothing. Then they went up and told us, let's go to the National. Nothing was there. And guess what? As a Palestinian who never gives up, we brought it back to the local. I joined with the Hispanic caucus and the TNBC and the African American caucuses, and I pushed through that statement, and we were able to succeed. So we still have disconnects between the national level that Chris was bringing up and all of that situation, but you have a lot of the new locals and a lot of the locals are Gen Z, right, that are starting to say, not in our name. And there is change, and you can see change. One of the big slogans that we have at our local right now was worker power, you know, worker power. And that is what it's going to take in today's failing economy, right, in the United States. The only way we're going to make change is to hold our labor. It's upon you now to support your local unions and support the rest of the unions and take action. What happens when we say we go for 1 week without buying gas in America? Do you know what you can do? Change.
Thank you. I want to pivot a little bit to talk about young folks. We have seen some of the greatest activism around Palestine on university campuses with young people organizing encampments for Gaza. We've also seen some of the greatest movement around independent union creation and organizing, again, led by young people. And this country has a growing demographic diversity in spite of the efforts, the best efforts of white supremacists. The country is becoming less white, and young people are at the forefront of it. We have more young people of color than we did in previous generations. And I'm wondering if through that confluence of issues, that you have young people who are struggling against white supremacy and are also incredibly militant, who aren't bound by the same rules around what you can and can't say about Zionism in Palestine, what you can and can't do about unions and joining a union, and white supremacy. Do you see some hope in young folks leading the charge on labor and Palestine and doing that because there is these connections between them?
Yeah, 1,000%. I mean, because of young people, I'm on Canary Mission right now. Because I was with the students' encampment at Columbia University day one, and I wear that with a badge of honor. You know, as a labor leader, once again, the connection that we have to grassroots organizing should be hand in hand. There is a disconnect here in this country. I wish international unions understood that was such a pivotal moment in history. It gave labor unions the opportunity to connect with the students that were
starting encampments across our nation.
Thank you, Nidal Rafidi. Thank you, Chris Smalls. Thank you all so much for coming. And that's it for our panel on Palestine and labor. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
We just heard a labor and Palestine panel moderated by KPFK's own Sonali Kolhatkar, featuring Nidal Rafidi of the Teamsters and Chris Smalls of the Amazon Labor Union. KPFK is Samud, listener-supported, refusing to take corporate money, and holding this ground for 67 years. Gary, what Chris said about the difference between resolutions on paper and labor actually being withheld feels like the whole game. That's what labor power really looks like. And to me, that's the same power that built KPFK. Workers and listeners together refusing to let this station die since 1959.
That's right. And we'll be taking a quiz after the show, so you better be taking notes. And tell us what Samud is exactly.
Well, that's a great question, Gary. Samud is the Arabic word for steadfastness. It is the practice of always showing up, never giving up. And it's actually the DNA of KPFK. KPFK has, whether we've known it or not, been practicing Samud for 67 years now. And that was part of why we decided to call this event Samud, was to highlight the threads of KPFK's resistance and the fight for liberation that we carry, and the fight for Palestinian liberation that's been going on for even longer. So that's what Samud means, staying, refusing to be erased. And on the 78th Nakba Day, KPFK stands strong with the Palestinian people, with the 750,000 expelled in 1948, and with the 2 million in Gaza today.
Thank you for that. 818-985-5735 is the number to call. We are in our spring fund drive. And if you appreciate this audio that we are presenting, this event that we had, and if you weren't able to attend, we have it right here. We're going to explain it one more time. As a matter of fact, Ace, can you tell us, for a pledge of $150, which folks can become sustainers and pledge at $10 a month, $20 a month, and become sustainers with KPFK, what do they get?
$150 doesn't just get you this broadcast, it gets you the whole evening. 4 hours of what we're broadcasting and every voice from Samud. We have cultural and intellectual performances from Palestinians and from American solidarity activists. In addition, you also get a signed copy of Dr. Ramzi Baroud's brand new book, Before the Flood, a Gaza family memoir from Seven Stories Press. In it, Ramzi recounts the last three generations of life in occupied Palestine, as told through his family's own words. And lastly, you get a Palestinian keffiyeh made by a family of Palestinian weavers. The full 4-hour event recording, as well as Dr. Ramzi Baroud's new book, Before the Flood, a Gaza family memoir, recounting three generations of life under Israeli occupation, as told through his own family. And lastly, you get a beautiful handmade keffiyeh, the Palestinian scarf of resistance, made by a family of Palestinian weavers. These three things, all yours for just $150 or a monthly pledge of $20. All you have to do is call now, 818-985-5735. Again, that's 818-985-KPFK, hit option 2, or pledge securely online at kpfk.org/donate.
818-985-5735 is the number to call to get this incredible package. 818-985-5735, extension 2. That'll go to the phone room. And how important is this? KPFK is a place where we could talk about this. Other stations will not do this. They can't do this. Only KPFK 90.7. So pledge your support that you hear these voices, the voices that are trying to be put down. 818-985-5735. This year marks 78 years of the Nakba, or the Palestinians' experience of dispossession and loss of their homeland. 818-985-5735. And if you have been following KPFK and Democracy Now! And other programs that we've had, you know the devastation that has happened in Gaza, pretty much wiped out. You know, when we talk about trauma, nationalism have shaped Israel's society after October 7th and during the genocide in Gaza arrives as old political certainties around Israel are fracturing increasingly among Jewish and Israeli intellectuals, artists, rabbis, and historians themselves.
And those polls that you cite really just tell the tip of the iceberg, that we have seen such a rapid evolution, people finding their moral clarity, with record speed on this issue. But KPFK has been platforming Palestinian voices since the 1950s. We're not new to this fight. We're not new to standing in our truth and fighting for justice. For Palestinians, the Nakba is not a date in history. It is a continuity. There is a second Nakba unfolding in Gaza right now. And that is why we felt it so necessary to have this event. So if this kind of programming is important to you, if what you just listened to resonates with you, please call 818-985-5735 and let us feel it. This is what we do, but we can only do it with your help. So please pitch in, call, go online, and give what you can.
818-985-KPFK.
I love KPFK. I've been listening to it for probably 20 years, and it blows me away, all the different shows and all the DJs, and they're introducing me to new music all the time, and every now and then I'll hear something I know, it's the best radio station because you can hear every kind of music on it and discover new music.
This is Jackson Brown. I've been listening to KPFK since I was a teenager. Then and now, KPFK has been a lifeline to vital information without which we would be at the mercy of corporate media and commercial interests that control it. There are so many programs that I've listened to regularly and so many instances when I've come upon the unexpected, the unknown, and the sublime. Join me and become a member today at kpfk.org. Now more than ever before, it's essential to keep supporting KPFK and the free exchange of ideas and cultural viewpoints that foster our democracy. And the number, which is the only number I know actually by heart, 818-985-5735. KPFK.
I came for inspiration. I came looking for truth.
Support comes from UCLA's Center for the Art of Performance, presenting Vijay Iyer and Wadada Leo Smith on May 16th at the Nimoy. Composer-pianist Iyer and composer-trumpeter Smith unite forces for an evening of duets that defy categorization in pursuit of an evocative, arresting sound. Deeply attuned and grounded in the present, Iyer and Smith perform cuts from their latest album, Defiant Life. Further information and tickets are at cap.ucla.edu and kpfk.org.
Hi, this is Michelle Coltrane. Join me every Saturday at 4 a.m. for my show, Awakenings. We will be taking a musical and spiritual journey into the world of Alice Coltrane and beyond. That's Awakenings every Saturday, 4 a.m. on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles and online for the world at kpfk.org.
Let love supreme reign over the universe. Om Shanti.
To engage in any activity
that shall contribute
to a lasting understanding
between nations and between the individuals of all nations,
races, creeds, and colors.
To gather and disseminate information
on the causes of conflict
between any and all of such groups,
and through any and all means
compatible with the purposes of this corporation,
to promote the study of political and economic problems,
and of the causes of religious, philosophical,
and racial antagonisms.
That is our mission. Yeah.
Hi, this is Lonnie Jordan, founding member.